I'm John Batchelor. It's called the Mars Sample Return Mission, MSR. Bob Zimmerman is here to take us through the theory of the Mars Sample Return and its price tag. Bob, why Mars Sample Return? Is this Perseverance? Is this the other part of the experiment that we've been watching?
Yes, this is the mission that is going to supposedly go and pick up those core samples that Perseverance is dropping. And it's a very complicated mission. They were originally going to use rovers. Now they've decided they're going to go with helicopters that will be sent to Mars. They'll send those helicopters to Mars, and then a Lockheed Martin Ascent vehicle will lift the capsule up with the core samples that the helicopter has delivered and return it to Earth. It's a complicated mission. It's been building over several years. Originally, in 20, NASA review said it was going to cost somewhere around $4 billion, and no one ever believed that number. NASA has now admitted that a story from Eric Berger, that the cost had doubled to $8 to $9 billion. They say that is possible. It is only one of a variety of estimates of costs. It's not the only one. It's an extreme one, NASA admits. They're going to do a full review in the fall and have a better idea, but they've also become very silent about what the cost is going to be in recent months. So I think that this $9 billion cost is probably unrealistic. This comes at a very bad time for NASA because the House is beginning to do budget reviews, and it's insisting on within the subcommittee that handles NASA, there has to be 28% cuts. Doesn't all have to come from NASA. They might cut other agencies higher, more, such as the Justice Department, but a lot of cuts might be happening. And to have suddenly a project that is so expensive and doubling costs in just a few years, it could make the Congress reluctant to spend the money on this. And it's one of the reasons I think NASA has scheduled its second formal review to end in the fall, because they don't want to really announce an official doubling of the budget while the budget process is going on. They're hoping Congress will approve a budget, and then they'll announce how terrible the situation is. And this is very typical of NASA's recent track record with big projects like Webb, SLS, Orion, the Roman Telescope, and a whole bunch of others. Any of their big projects, the cost balloon and the timing goes long, and they're delayed and behind schedule. I will point out that this is supposed to launch sometime around 30. By that time, Starship could probably land there and do it for a tenth the cost. But that's another story.
Is this a cost plus story?
Yes, to a certain extent, it is a cost plus story. I think that all the contracts here are going to be cost plus. Yes. I don't know that for an absolute fact, but I'm pretty certain that's the case.
Well, the way to go forward is a fixed contract. Wouldn't that answer?
It would, but, you know, that would be a different system, and NASA's really not interested in doing that, and neither is Congress, really. They don't mind printing money. It grows on trees. We don't have to really worry about that. We can spend whatever we want.
All right. The Chinese space program, which is non-transparent and semi-military, has data from Zhurong. Remind us what it was Zhurong, Bob.
Zhurong is, or maybe was, a rover on Mars that the Chinese sent there a few years ago. It operated for about a year. It was only supposed to go 90 days. When the Martian winter came in, they put it into hibernation. It did not come out of hibernation as scheduled. They say it might still come out of hibernation. We don't know. It's going to have to wait and see. But using data that was accumulated by Zhurong, Chinese scientists have determined that the very weak Martian magnetic field at the location where Zhurong was roving is actually much weaker than predicted. And this is the opposite result of what InSight got when it landed in a different place on Mars. There, the magnetic field in the crust was more powerful than expected from orbital data. What this means is that the crust on the Utapia Basin either was never magnetized before, or some later big impact demagnetized the crust. Well, that's a nice guess, but we only have two data points on the surface of Mars, so in terms of the magnetic field, we really don't know anything yet. We'll have to wait.
Sample return, it's a trend. It's all the rage in deep space exploration. China's conducting parachute tests for a sample return mission. Where, Bob?
In China, over the Gobi Desert. This is testing a mission, Tianwen-2, that's going to go to first an near-Earth asteroid to get samples and return them to Earth and then go off to a comet in 2030 and rendezvous with it. What's interesting about this sample return, the testing the parachutes, they've done this before when they did the lunar return sample mission. So it's that's just making sure everything works. But what's interesting about this mission is that they're copying the solar panels of Lucy, and they're copying the touch-and-grow sample grab methods used by OSIRIS REx and Hayabusa 2. But for China, what's interesting is that they brought in their own new idea for once. They're going to anchor to the asteroid and use drills in the probe's landing legs to grab samples as well. And from China, something new. That's kind of that is new, and it's kind of cool.
They're learning, Bob. Original is better. James Webb Space Telescope has made a discovery of a carbon molecule. What's the significance?
This is just using the infrared ability of Webb, they were able to detect a organic molecule that they hadn't found before, and that's just telling us something about the development of solar systems and protoplanetary systems.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.